Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
The file of one of the most disturbing stories of the last two or three weeks. It takes us to Monroe Township in Ohio. This is the shocking and tragic incident, and it's more than an incident, doesn't even justify this. Chad Dorman, a 32-year-old Ohio man charged with three counts of aggravated murder for allegedly executing his three young sons, age 7, 4, and 3. Authorities have called it an act of incomprehensible cruelty that took place in the family's home. Claremont County Medical Court Judge Jason Nagel sat a staggering $20 million bond for Dorman, who appeared in court on Friday. Assistant Prosecutor David Gast, representing the state, described the chilling details of the crime to the judge, saying that Dorman had lined up his three sons and executed them with a rifle. The defense, I should note, initially on this wanted a $75,000 bond, stating that he's good for it. He's got a job. He's got, money in the bank. He's got this or that. It's like, you just executed your three children in the front yard. $75K? That sounds right to me. They went with the strongest possible one they could get, where it's likely there ain't no one that's going to pay this off for you. So $20 million. The tragic incident unfolded on Thursday afternoon when a distressed woman made a frantic 911 call screaming that her babies had been shot. Simultaneously, a witness reported another distressing sight of a young girl running down the road, shouting that her father was killing everyone. Responding to the calls, deputies from the Claremont County Sheriff's Office quickly arrived at the family's residence at Laurel Lindale Road in Monroe Township. Deputies found Chad Dorman just sitting there on the steps of the house with a rifle beside him. You can see this video. It is on YouTube. It's the body cam footage revealing a deputy yelling at him to stand up, which he did not do. He then forcefully handcuffed him on the ground. The deputies discovered three young children lying unresponsive in the yard, having sustained gunshot wounds. And despite attempts to resuscitate them, the children tragically succumbed to all of their wounds at the scene. The children's mother, a 34-year-old woman whose identity remains undisclosed, suffered a gunshot wound to her hand while trying to protect her sons from the violent assault. She was transported to a local hospital for treatment, where deputies informed her of her children's untimely deaths. It should also be noted, I think, in here that one of the children, and this makes it even worse, one of the little boys tried to escape, started running, noticed, oh, my brothers are getting shot, what the hell? Takes off, and then the father chases him and hunts him down, literally. During his arraignment, Dorman allegedly confessed to the murders. I guess that's a win. It won't take them through trials for years and waste a ton of money. David Gass from the Claremont County Prosecutor's Office Criminal Division stated that the shootings had been planned for several months, indicating a premeditated act of unspeakable horror. The motive behind the crime remains under investigation. When you're talking about doing something like this, I don't really care what your motive is. You don't have one. Your motive is insanity at that point. There's nothing logical that's going to say, oh, yeah, that's a good motive. That seems reasonable.
Oh, I'm sorry. The one thing that it makes me think, because he had been planning it, obviously, he and his wife weren't together. He didn't kill his wife. It makes me think that he tried to do the absolute worst thing he could do to her. What could
you know, that's an interesting observation. Because that's something that people who are in very, very bad places are very narcissistic and selfish and just horrible human beings will do. That's like what the mob does as well. They don't necessarily go after you. They're going to kill your family. They want to inflict as much distress and sadness on the person that they feel vengeful towards. And the collateral damage is what's going to cause that. And they don't really necessarily think or want to think about who they're killing or why they're killing them. They just want to inflict that pain on somebody else. I wonder if that could possibly be part of that motive.
Well, and I'd read that the girl who took off running, that her dad was killing everybody, that was his stepdaughter. Okay. So that it either was, or I think it was her stepdaughter. So that wasn't his kid. So I don't know. I don't know. It's just so, I can't even wrap my brain around it.
Describing the devastation caused by Dorman's actions, Gast emphasized the trauma inflicted on the family, the community, and those involved in responding to the incident. And this is the ultimate betrayal here. He spoke of the boys' reliance of their father for protection, love, and guidance, emphasizing the heinousness of executing them in cold blood. I mean, I don't know what their relationship was, but can you imagine if you do have a good relationship with your dad and all of a sudden he starts doing this, you'd be like, what the hell? Family members,
even if you had a bad relationship with your dad.
Yeah, no matter what.
These are kids, little kids.
Keith Dorman's father described his son as having just snapped and expressed his inability to comprehend the situation. Keith acknowledged that there might have been hidden struggles his son was facing. The community rallied around the grieving family, and as we hear in everything now, a GoFundMe campaign has been launched to assist with the funeral expenses. Fundraiser organized by Rachel Brown aims to alleviate the financial burden caused by the tragedy. The page has, as of this recording, raised over $230,000. The investigation is ongoing, and authorities have confirmed that there are no other suspects being sought in connection with the incident. There's no way to explain this. I mean, this goes back to what I think my whole motivation for doing this show is. It's trying to get in front of people like this before they act, trying to understand what's going on, what is making people tick these bizarre ways, and what can be done to stop that, to stop someone ruining their life and, quote, snapping. Or doing something horrible and saving lives of people who are then the victims of people like this. Because so many of these things, there are signs. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, there's not many signs. And a weekend, well, there was quite a few signs and maybe this, maybe that. But we are in a place where we can't, you know, we're in America. We have civil liberties and things of that nature. I'm not saying that's bad. But there's something that needs to be looked at into the mental health of our society that some people who are exhibiting certain signs of danger maybe should be brought off to the side for a little bit, for a timeout, so they can regain what they're missing so they don't do things like this. And we should recognize those things a little bit more ahead of the fact before we just go, yeah, they seemed really troubled, like they could probably do that. Because a lot of times if you're really truly able to say they could probably do that, they likely will do that.
You just have to wonder. It just makes me think that it had been a bad relationship, obviously. Mm-hmm. If he'd been, you know, were they going through a divorce, separating? I don't know. So there's more backstory, I'm sure. But
I had heard reports.
Poor woman.
I had seen reports of interviews of people around the family and friends and such that many said that he was not a good father, that he was abusive, aggressive, always yelling at everyone, and just not someone who seemed to really have their shit together very well. Not that everyone who yells at their kids is going to go kill them by any means, but there certainly were signs of that this is someone who's probably not capable of being a good parent right now, and maybe something should be done. But again,
I just feel so bad for everyone.
hindsight is 2020.
And the people, the first responders. Yeah. I can't imagine. Can't imagine.
The trauma that would cause. I mean, if you're in law enforcement, you see a lot of shit. But I mean, especially if you're a parent in law enforcement and you come across three dead kids in the front yard that were shot, that's nothing you're going to get over anytime soon.
By their own parent.
Yeah. There's only so much you can only so much you can compartmentalize and move forward in a healthy way. This is going to be something so many people are going to have to work through. And probably even as you work through it, you're never going to truly get over that sort of a trauma.
No, it changes who you are.
Like that. But that GoFundMe does exist. If you want to look that up, like I said, as of this time, $230,000 in support of the funeral costs. And hopefully the rest of that can go to support the surviving mother and her daughter in their, you know, their quest, if you will, to go on with their life in some way, shape, or form. Just all around absolutely horrible, horrible experience.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case, now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.